Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan de Burka Butler joins us once again to bring us stories from other parts of the world. Afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you going?
Right, Liberia we're going to go to first, a very troubled part of the world. Mm. And the former vice president there has been arrested.
Yeah, so Liberia, it's not huge country, it's only about 6 million people live in it. And former vice president there has been charged. All right, she was detained for a couple of hours and the charges were read to her. Now, this vice president is a woman by the name of Jewel Howard Taylor. Now, when you hear the words Taylor in Liberia, you're right to think in that direction. She was the former wife of Charles Taylor, but she didn't actually get into politics when he was president. So he was president from 1997 to 2003, and then he subsequently left. And of course, he was charged by the UN, the International Criminal Court.
Yeah.
For his part in the war in Sierra Leone, and was sentenced to 50 years in prison, and he's still in prison in the UK. He's 78 now. But anyway, his wife, or ex-wife, got into politics years later and was actually the running mate of George Weah, the famous footballer who became president. So she was vice president from 2018 to 2024. Okay, a little bit of a backstory there. But she has been charged in relation to what investigators in Liberia are calling a transnational narcotics network. Okay, so there's been a couple of seizures in the last couple of months of big lumps of cocaine, right? So back in July, they came across $317 million worth of cocaine that was in Liberia. And they suspect that she is somehow involved in this. Okay. So it's a pretty amazing charge when you consider the station that she used to hold in the country up until 2024. But it is part of a major crackdown on cocaine and drug trafficking in the country, right? And it's a fairly big name.
Yeah. Is it a kind of a positive sign within Liberia in general that somebody with that surname is getting arrested for these kind of crimes?
I guess it is. You'd have to say that it is, given her history and her connections, which obviously, these are still just accusations.
Yes,
but there is anything to them, she's obviously used them to make money out of it. Out of what's going on here. Now, the authorities have said that they're also charging two Croatians and a Ukrainian who aren't in the country, and they say that they're looking within Liberia's security establishment for more people who are involved. So they're really going hard on it.
The security establishment means that more people within...
I guess in the police or in the army or whatever, you know, people who are turning a blind eye. And I mean, they do have a problem in this part of the world as a kind of a transport hub for cocaine. There's no doubt about it. We've spoken about it before. Other countries along that coast of West Africa, the drugs are transported over from South America and then they go to Europe from these countries in Africa. And, you know, presumably the borders are quite porous and people are easy to buy off, you know.
Not exactly, that well-regulated. Okay. I suppose this largely took place in the US, but it involves the Daily Mail, who were, you know, as tabloid papers sometimes will do, they'll stalk celebrities.
Yeah.
But in this case, the Daily Mail didn't stalk a celebrity.
They misstalked.
Yeah,
they did. Yeah. So I'm going to say where I got this story initially from, because I think it's relatively important. This came from The Guardian, and I would say it was gleefully reported by The Guardian. Okay. So they're basically saying that the Daily Mail newspaper secretly tailed and photographed a woman in Detroit, and then they published an article and photographs of her, falsely claiming that she was Meg White. Okay, so Meg White was the former drummer with the White Stripes.
Yep.
Okay, now the White Stripes disbanded back in 2011. Okay, and Meg White, from that point on, has basically said, look, I don't want anything to do with the public. All right, I'm just going to live in Detroit and I want to be left alone, essentially. Mm. Right. So they, in fact, were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year. And she didn't turn up. She sent a message of gratitude through Jack White. She just wants to be left alone, right? So for whatever reason, the Daily Mail decided that they were going to go to Detroit and try and find her, right? But they ended up tracking the wrong woman, okay? And they went and they spoke to her. They approached her a few times. They spoke to her. And even then she said, look, I'm not Meg White. I don't know why you keep thinking that I am. So she denied it. They still followed her. They still took photos of her. And then they published a story saying that they had found her and that these were the first public photos of her, or photos in public of her for 17 years. So they had this exclusive story. But it soon became apparent that it wasn't Meg White. It was a friend of hers, someone that she knows, all right, but not her at all.
Yeah.
And the only reason they went ahead and published the story was because they concluded that she was Meg White because she politely replied thank you after a compliment about the White Stripes music during one of those confrontations with the reporter.
Yeah.
So I don't know where they got it from, but anyway, they put it out there, and then a couple of days later, they quietly took it down without an apology or a correction or anything like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and this person that they claimed was Meg White, I wonder, do they have any legal recourse?
I don't know at this stage. I'm sure they probably do for invasion of privacy, perhaps.
Yeah.
She repeatedly told them that she wasn't Meg White.
Yeah.
It was confirmed, The Guardian again gleefully confirmed from at least three sources who are close, a music exec and then the ex-wife, another ex-wife of Jack White, and then another person who is in the music sphere in Detroit, that this is, that it wasn't Meg White, but it was a friend, and everybody kind of knows this friend in Detroit and exactly who she is.
But the story didn't say anything kind of defamatory about Meg White. She hadn't become a bag lady
Not that I know of. I think the pictures were based, the usual type of Hello Magazine type thing.
Yeah.
Here is this famous person outside a restaurant. Doesn't she look awful or amazing or normal like everybody else, kind of thing.
Oh, my word. Now, we're going to go to the UK now, though. The Myanmar embassy, where the ambassador can't get in or...
Yeah, it's a great story, this one. So a bit of background here. So obviously, Aung San Suu Kyi was leader of Myanmar, and there was a coup back in February 2021. There had been a coup a couple of years before that as well, and they kicked her out, right? So at the time, there was an ambassador in London, a man by the name of Chau Zwar Min, okay? He's now 68 years of age. And when that military coup happened, he didn't recognise the new government. And so he said, I'm staying put because I don't see you as the legitimate government, and therefore you can't kick me out of my job, effectively, right?
Yeah.
So he went out about his business, and one day he discovered a few months after the coup, that he was locked out of the embassy itself. Now, important distinction here, he was locked out of the embassy, but he decided that he would go back to the residence, and he stayed there, and he is still there, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Now, what's happened in this case is that the British Foreign Office have actually taken a case against him, right? So they're basically saying that you're not allowed to be there, and you're guilty of the offence of diplomatic trespass, okay? Because you've been officially kicked out of your job, right, you're no longer allowed to reside at that residence because you're not the ambassador anymore. Now, I know there's a whole thing around, well, surely this is something for Myanmar to figure out because it's their land. But actually, that whole thing about, embassies being the foreign country's land is not true, really.
Yeah.
They still belong to the host country. So as far as the British are concerned, this guy is just an ordinary Myanmar citizen who is illegally staying in the embassy residence, not the embassy itself, but the embassy residence of Myanmar, and he shouldn't be there. So they're taking a case against him.
I assume diplomatic trespass isn't the same as trespass. That if it's got the word diplomatic in front of it, no one's going to prison for this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the charge is, because I tried to see was there any precedence here and I couldn't find any. So I don't know what could happen to essentially.
Well, it's highly unusual.
Yeah, diplomatic trespass is defined as exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
Not leaving when you're supposed to leave.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And the UK government, though, I assume, recognises the current government of Myanmar.
No, this is the weird thing.
What? Yeah,
this is the weird thing, and this is where I think your man might have a case.
Yeah.
I can imagine some judge up in the high, or the Westminster Magistrates Court, saying, I can make a bit of a name for myself here, If the UK government doesn't recognise the legitimacy of this government, how can we expect the former ambassador to recognise the legitimacy of this government? So, maybe he does have a case. And that is what he's putting forward. His defence lawyer is saying, look, it's not a legitimate government, so you know, how can they take the appointment away from him?
And if the UK recognised the government that appointed him as ambassador, then he's still technically ambassador.
I suppose.
That'll be an interesting one. So this is in court now. They're having these arguments.
It's in the process. I think it was last Wednesday when it kicked off, and I haven't seen anything since. But it's one to watch because it'll be very interesting to see how it pans out.
You'll be watching it very closely in Myanmar as well. I would have thought. European mainland now, Hungary particularly now, and I suppose it's not something that's. That, curiously enough, has been reported a lot because I suppose we've been focusing more on the heat waves in Italy and France and the deaths as a result of that. But the Danube, the levels of the Danube are ridiculously low.
Yeah, absolutely. And in Hungary, in Budapest specifically, they have thrown up some secrets that they've been hiding for a very long time. Specifically, the waters got so low that they discovered the bodies of two German soldiers that have been there since World War II. They know this because when they found them, they found their military identity tags along with them as well. Now, these military identity tags, they'd usually be like little cookies, right? And there's a line down the middle. Mm. You'd have a number up on the top half and you'd have a number on the bottom half. The idea was that if your mate was shot dead beside you, you'd clip off the bottom half. You'd leave the top half around his neck so you could identify the body, and you'd bring the bottom half back to your officers and say, Jimmy's dead or Fritz is dead or whatever, okay? And then it would be reported. But in this case, the military tags were intact, right? So that never happened. So therefore, these two kids, probably these two soldiers, have been missing for 80 years. And now they've been finally discovered, or over 80 years, and now they've finally been discovered.
And they were German soldiers.
They've been identified now as two members of the Wehrmacht, German soldiers. Because you have to bear in mind, so there was a big engagement towards the end of the war, the Battle of Budapest, which lasted for about 6 to 8 months, I think. About 50,000 people were killed, thousands of people killed. But Hungary and Germany were allies during the Second World War, as you know. So they were kind of defending Budapest together against the Allies. But anyways, it's an extraordinary story, and now they have to figure out who these guys were, and they'll give them a burial.
Oh, they don't automatically know, even from the dog tags,
well,
who they were.
So it's a process, right? So they'll go back and they'll identify them, and then they'll just make sure. But they have to figure out if the dog tags, where they were found on the body. So if they were found around the neck, it's more than likely that they belonged to the lads, who were killed. Yeah. But if they were found around the hip, it could have been the case that somebody had taken them and had run off with them and they subsequently died. But it's more than likely, because they're intact, that they are that they do belong to the two boys. But they're always careful about these.
Yeah, and I assume that they were preserved in the mud.
Yes.
I mean, probably not in great nick, but that was...
Yeah, they were preserved in the mud, and apparently I read on some archaeology site there was sort of a deposits of oil around them and that kind of thing, of some sort of petrol, I think, around them, presumably from the time of the war, but I need to look more into that.
Are there a lot of missing soldiers since World War II?
Loads. Yeah. In the Soviet Union alone, apparently, there's over 2 million.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's loads to be discovered still.
That's extraordinary, or may never be.
You will, indeed.
Yeah, and discovered. Right, Liechtenstein we're going to, finally. We don't really talk about Liechtenstein that much because, you know, blink and you'd miss it sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it's changed its the royal succession laws.
It has. So Liechtenstein, it's tiny. It's in between Switzerland and Austria. I presume they speak German. Population of about 40,000 people, and they've one of the oldest royal families there. Since the 12th century they've been going, and they have an enormous amount of power. They actually had a referendum back in 2003. I think the prince at the time, Hans Adam II, he threatened to leave Liechtenstein if he wasn't given more power. And they put it to a referendum, and the country basically said, okay, we want you to stay, because presumably they make quite a bit of money out of them.
Yeah, I think it's all duty-free there, something like that. Kind of Monaco thing going on there.
Lots of nice arrangements anyway. Yeah. So anyway, the prince there has a lot of power. He can veto popular referendums. He can dismiss the parliament whenever he wants. He appoints the judges, hands out pardons, all that kind of thing. It's like a tiny version of Trump, basically.
Yeah, nice.
So what they've decided now is that they're going to change their royal succession rules to allow women to ascend the throne. How enlightened they are.
Wow.
And that has never happened before. Now, they had to decide that through the princely court. Right. So the princely court is a gathering of eminent princely people, and two thirds of them decided that it was OK for this to happen. So they're going with the times.
Yeah. And the current prince, is there a clear successor to this prince?
So Prince Hans Adam II, he's been the head of the royal family since 1989, but since about 2006, he's been fairly quiet. And Prince Alwa has been carrying out most of the duties.
OK.
Now, his son is next up. I think Prince Wenzel is his name. He was born in 1995. He has a sister who was born in 1996. So, you know,
could be she might that. Be in the running.
I don't know. I think probably Prince Alwa, who's there now, he has brothers who'd probably precede her if something was to happen and all sorts of things. It's all very complex. But the reason they're doing it, they basically say, look, it's time for them to get into modern times. And they feel that basically the princely house should be led by the person who has been best prepared for this responsibility. And presumably that means someone who's the oldest in the family.
My word, wokeness gone mad. So what should we look out for over the next week?
Yeah, a few things happening. On the 29th, Iceland is voting to resume EU negotiations, so they will begin their long path to the European Union if they decide to go that way. Then on the 30th, the following day, first round of presidential elections in Haiti. God, will they even go ahead?
Yeah,
is the question.
Yeah.
You know, and how, what's it going to look like?
Yeah.
After it happens, if it does happen, it's
yeah.
a crazy business really over there. So that's that. And then the final week of Edinburgh Fringe is this week as well.
Okay, right. Good stuff. Jonathan, thanks a million.
Cheers,
as ever, Jonathan De Burka Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.